at St. Augustine's.
May I ask you your name, please?
My name is Stella Connors.
Could you tell me?
I was born in Bridgeport, Connecticut, on the east side. Yes, I was born in December 1st, 1917. I am 66 years old.
Could you tell me about your family?
Yes, my family. I come from a family of nine. My mother had nine children. I am the third of the oldest. Mm-hmm. And I went to St. Michael's School, was born on the east side.
Could you tell me about your childhood?
Oh, yes. We grew up on Hamilton Street. And, of course, we had a great big backyard there. We used to bounce the ball. We didn't have many toys, but we got along. All the children got together. And I went to St. Michael's School.
Were your parents natives of Bridgeport?
No, my mother and father came from Poland. But I was born here. All the children were born here. My father came when he was 17 years old. He came here. And they married here in St. Michael's Church. And I went to St. Michael's School through 8th grade. We learned Polish and English. Mm-hmm. And we graduated from there. Then I went out to Harding High School. I went there for 4 years. And that's all. We always lived on the east side.
Were your parents employed?
My father was employed. And my mother only worked evenings. When my father came home from work, my mother would go at night to the buckle shop and work in the buckle shop. My father was a molder, worked in a foundry.
What level of education did you complete?
I went through grammar school and high school, and that was it. Then I had to go to work. I went to work when I was 16, and I worked for $3 a week. Then I went to work in an office for $8 a week.
Could you tell me how the schools were managed then?
Oh, yes, we have nuns. It was a private school. We had nuns, and we paid 50 cents a month. Mm-hmm. And we got our books and pencils and everything there. And they were strictly nuns then. But they punished you. You know, if you were bad, you got it across the knuckles. I mean, it isn't like today, they can't touch you. We got punished, stay after school. Mm-hmm. And of course, we got on the knuckles, our quacks, and that was it.
Were the schools within walking distance?
Oh, yes. I only had about 3 blocks to walk to school at the time then, because we lived right on Hamilton Street. We would cross right over East Main Street, and the school was right there on Pulaski Street. It's still there. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful school, the convent and all there. But they had no lay teachers at that time. Everything was nuns.
What about the students who didn't live close? Were there transportation?
Well, they had bus. Then they didn't. Oh, no. They came from all over. They came on their own regular bus. They paid their fare, like the Barnum and State and all the GE bus. They came from all over just to learn the language of the Polish, you know. It wasn't a restricted area, but they came on their own buses. There was no busing at that time. Oh, no.
Okay. Could you describe the relationship between the teachers and the students?
They were very good. I mean, of course, the children were more disciplined than, mm-hmm. you know, than they are today. It was a different generation then. And, of course, your parents were very strict. You dared not answer them back, and, of course, you dared not answer a nun back. And if there was any staying after school punishment, and when you got home and you told you stayed after, you were punished, you got more. Because you were, you know, it was a different atmosphere and everything. And if you were good with the nuns, they were good to you. Yeah.
Could you tell me about your neighborhood?
The neighborhood was, most of the families were Polish. Mm-hmm. And of course in that area, and they all had children. And, of course, you didn't have toys or anything. They all gathered in backyards and all. And on Sunday, you just gathered your children when visiting to your relatives. There was no television. you know, then, and there was nothing, and you just visited on Sunday. Went to the park? Mm-hmm. Washington Park?
Yes.
Went to Washington Park.
How long have you lived in your neighborhood?
There? Mm-hmm. Well, I lived there till I finished school. I'll say, well, about 14 years. Uh-huh. Then we moved near Washington Park, near Holy Rosary Church there. And I lived there for another 15 years until I got married.
Could you describe some of the changes that have taken place?
Oh, yes. Then they had trolleys for transportation. Mm-hmm. The trolley was an open trolley for a nickel. Mm-hmm. They ran on tracks. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Washington Park, that was a must. You went there, and they had a bandstand on top, and they had music concerts going. And, of course, we had Pleasure Beach. Mm-hmm. That was a must. Every Wednesday was Kitty's Day. Your rides were a nickel. Mm-hmm. For a nickel, you went on all the rides. For a dollar, you went on 20 rides in the afternoon. You took your children there to Pleasure Beach.
In contrast with then and now, do you prefer the neighborhood as it was then or as it is now?
Well, now they're all mixed neighborhood. I haven't been there in years, but it's all mixed now. See, before, like, the east side would be all Polish. The West End would be all Hunky Town. They called it Hunky Town. And all Hungarian. And then up the North End, you'd have more the Irish people, where now they're all mixed. You know, you get all nationalities and races and everything. They're all mixed now.
What type of people resided in your neighborhood?
Then? Mm-hmm. Oh, then, like I say, we had mostly Polish people because it was convenient for the children to go to school. Mm-hmm. Close there. And Polish butcher shops. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had a lot of Jewish bakeries. Fresh bread and everything was right in the neighborhood there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What type of houses occupied your neighborhood? Were there any apartment buildings or boarding houses?
No. The houses were mostly large houses, like three-family house. The house we lived in was like a block long, like duplex homes. There'd be a store around the corner, but they were right on the ground floor. And then you had a second floor upstairs, but they were like a block long, one after another. Your doors were one after another, one after you had to know your door in order to get to. And most of them, there were no individual houses. Most of them were like 3 and 6 family houses, big houses. And everybody lived in their long halls. Your bathrooms were out in the hall. You know, you had no individual conveniences like you have today. But everybody got along very well. Everybody came from big families.
Okay. Did the majority of families in your neighborhood own their own houses, or did they?
Oh, not then. Oh, no. Because, no, nobody had the money to own their own home. But your rents ran like maybe $15 or $20 a month. Mm-hmm. So nobody owned their own homes then.
Did the families in your neighborhood have close relationships?
Oh, yes, very close. Like I say, it was mostly relatives and families. And they would have their, who would bring this and who would bring that, and they'd sit down and they'd have their own picnics in the backyard and all. But there was no money to go around for anything, you know, entertainment or anything.
Were there any churches in your neighborhood?
Oh, yes. We've had churches right around. Right on Pembroke Street, there was St. Mary's Church, St. Cyril's Church on Crescent Avenue, and we had St. Michael's on Pulaski Street. Mm-hmm. There were plenty of churches around then at that time. Yeah.
Was religion strongly stressed?
Very, very well. Mm-hmm. Yes, everybody had religion then. Yes, very well.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about the Depression years?
Oh, the Depression year was rough. I mean, everybody was going down the city. There was a WPA. You worked, swept streets and everything, and you'd get $5 a week. And then a truck would come, and you would get a box, powdered milk, powdered eggs. Mm-hmm. Once a week you got that when you got a family. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I remember the bank on East Main Street going under. The people were standing in line there, but they wouldn't give you the money. They lost money in it. And many people who had quite a little money would jump out windows and all. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they couldn't cope with it. I mean, they lost their life saving. Maybe it would only be maybe $100 or $200. This is all they had in the Depression.
How were, you know, products, were they cheap or things?
Oh, you could get a loaf of bread for a nickel. I mean, you got food was very cheap, a nickel for a loaf of bread, and you were able to get meat. You'd get a steak for maybe 39 cents a pound.
What?
I mean, oh yes, everything was very, very cheap. And eggs were like maybe 15 cents a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. You went to the store with a dollar, and you come home with a big bag full.
Mm.
I mean, food was cheap, but you didn't have the money.
Yeah,
you didn't have the dollar.
The income.
I mean, people worked like for $10-$15 a week.
Oh.
If they had a job.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they worked for $10-$15 a week, but they didn't. There was no work around. Everything was WPA, you know, working on the city, sweeping the streets and all. You had to work for what you got.
Mm-hmm.
You got the $5 a week, but you worked for it, and plus the box.
Did anyone in your family lose their jobs?
Well, I had a brother that was on the WPA. Mm-hmm. He worked for the city, and they would have to take their wagon and come to the welfare building to get milk. And the box, like I say, the truck would come once a week and bring you the box. And it was dry milk, and little that he got, the dry milk and the beans and all, he lived in our house upstairs, and my father would buy a little piece of meat, and my mother would make a big pot of stew, and the two families would eat with that.
How did it affect your family? You know?
Well, that was the only thing. I mean, it didn't affect us too much because we didn't have steak, we didn't have, but you always had a pot of soup, you always had stew.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, I know at one point my brother, his little boy, got very sick. He didn't have $2 for the doctor to come to the house. And the boy would have lost his life if it wasn't for my father.
$2 for the doctor?
$2 came to the house.
Oh,
they made house calls. Doctors made house calls. Yeah.
That was all that it charged, $2?
$2 to come to the house, a house call.
That's a big difference.
Sure, it's a big difference, but the only thing is, if you have the $2, you know, now you have the money.
Yeah.
Everything is high, but you got the money to pay for it.
What could you tell me about World War II?
Well, World War II, I had two brothers in the Army. I had a brother in the Navy. And I had a brother-in-law in the Army, came back with a leg off,
mm-hmm.
lost a leg in France. My oldest brother was sergeant. He was under General Patton.
Mm-hmm.
But they all came back. They've seen many of their buddies killed.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, three brothers and a brother-in-law.
Do you know anything about rationing?
Oh yeah, everything was rationed. We had oil that was rationed, and you got food stamps. You got a book, and you can only buy, if you bought meat today, and you spent all your rationing for the month, you had no meat the rest of the month.
Mm.
I mean, if you bought a pound of chopped meat, you had to stretch it to make meatballs, and the next week you saved your stamps for next, and your oil was rationed. I remember a time there when we were going with 5-gallon cans. We didn't have enough of stamps to buy oil. So we'd take a 5-gallon can and walk over to Hoffman's on Washington Avenue and keep going every day to get the 5 gallons to keep your stove going, to keep warm. Everything was rationed, your oil, your food, and everything.
Did every family get this?
Yeah, you were rationed. You could only get so much. Yeah, you couldn't get oil like now. The truck comes and says, well, you want 200 gallons. You couldn't do that.
Oh.
If you only had stamps for 100, and that was for the month.
You have to use that.
Stretch it.
What type of changes took place after the war?
Oh, after the war, you mean in buildings or in, well, during the war, there was work because people were making ammunition and everything. But once the war was over, a lot of factories moved out of the city. There's not many factories left here.
No.
And, of course, your housings and everything started going up. and your rents and everything went sky high. And people start buying more houses. Buildings start coming down. And there have been quite a few improvements, but there have been a lot of destruction too. Buildings came down and no improvements made.
Did a lot of people lose their jobs?
No, not too many. Most of the ammunition places moved out. But as far as sewing or, you know, anything like that, they were still working. They're still working now.
What was there a major effect on your family and environment?
No, not really, because then the children start growing up and most of them start going on their own. And they got married and they moved out. And it was a little bit easier then because my father worked a little more then and the family was getting smaller where they could live a little, you know, in luxury then. They bought their own little home and that was it. Everybody got married and they went on their own. They had their own places. And
did you have to make any kind of adjustments?
Oh, you sure you did, because like I said, when you're small, you were deprived of an awful lot. Mm-hmm. And then when you got older and the money started coming in more, you were able to get a little more luxury. You got a telephone, mm-hmm. you got a television, you got a radio, you know, and that was it. Where before, nobody had a telephone. No. If you went on the block or cars, there was no car. When you were a child, if you saw one car come down the street, that was it. Of course, after the kids grew up, everybody bought a car. You'd have 2-3 cars in the family. Sure.
What are your feelings about Bridgeport now, today?
Well, it's not what it was. I mean, when we were kids, we had more fun. We had... Oh, you had about 6-7 shows right on Main Street, one after another. You had the beaches, you had dance halls, which you don't have today. I mean, I think we were better off children for entertainment than the children of today. They really don't have anything. We had roller skate rinks, we had amusement parks, dance halls, movies. There's nothing today. Nothing. Nothing today. I mean, there's no shows. We've had, like on Main Street, you'd have about 6 shows. The lines were all the way up Congress Street. You'd come out of there, you had ice cream parlors and all to go to. There's nothing on Main today. Stores, we've had about 5 and 10s on Main Street. Today there's one.
There's one?
Yeah, Greens. That's the only one. We have Kresge's, Woolworths, Grant's. We had all them on Main Street. You don't have them today.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't have anything. You have no amusement park. We have the Seaside Park Pavilion upstairs. We have name bands used to come in there and dancing every Saturday night up there. We had Quilties. We had the Ritz. We had Pleasure Beach. It's nothing today. Yeah.
You think it's all gone?
Oh, that's all gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, there's nothing there. Yeah.
You think it'll ever get better?
Well, what they're doing now is building hotels. I don't know for what. Hotels, when I don't know who's going to come here to City Bridgeport, what are they going to see here? Huh?
It's all gone. Okay.
Yeah, they're not going to see anything here today.
Okay, that's all.
That's all I could say.